Well, we're going to continue on with our covenant marriage in our series called Till Death Do Us Part.
Okay. We have been, first of all desire for this is for single adults, for teenagers, for marrieds to be able to build their relationship on a foundation that honors Christ. And today we're going to cover part six. I think this is the final part. Our key verse that we've been looking at is Mark 10:6-9. It says, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." And so, as we've talked about, God's desire for marriage is for it to last till death do us part. And we've looked at the difference between a contract marriage and a covenant marriage. A contract marriage, like we said, has contingencies. It has things that if this doesn't happen, we're going to just end the marriage. Or as long as I'm happy, I'll stay in the marriage. Or as long as they don't do something that I don't approve of, I'll stay in the marriage. But a covenant marriage has a different attitude to where we're bound for life, and it's based on a commitment that you've made, and it has a different mentality of, you know, how can I serve you more, not just what can I get. And so God's desire is for us to have a covenant marriage, not a contract marriage. And we've covered we're going to cover the third one today, but it's three things that a covenant marriage possesses. The first one, which we covered a few weeks ago, so we're just going to kind of recap that, but covenant marriages are passionate. And there should be two things that we're passionate about. First of all, we're passionate about the Lord. And second, we're passionate about our spouse. The second part of a covenant marriage is covenant marriages are prepared. We prepare our attitude to serve our spouse, to love our spouse. We prepare ourselves physically to be healthy and have the energy that it takes to serve and love our spouse. We prepare our kids to let them know that they don't run the family. And we also prepare a plan. And hopefully you got that plan last week and you've had a chance to look over it with your spouse. If not, we will have more that you can get. And if you've missed any of these messages, you can catch them at our website, thousandhillsranchchurch.com, and get up to speed.
Yeah, and today we're going to cover number three. And if you're married, if you're single, this is going to be a great one for you. Either way, this is going to be an awesome quality. So, number three is this. This is the third quality to help you have a covenant marriage. Number three, ready? Write this down. Covenant couples and covenant marriages are protected. Covenant marriages passionate. Covenant marriages are prepared. And number three, covenant marriages are protected. Listen. Just like you have to work on your marriage being passionate and being romantic and being glorifying to God, just like you have to work on your marriage being prepared and you have to prepare a plan to have a successful marriage, things don't just happen accidentally. In the same way, our marriages have to be protected. Can I get a little amen on that? Some of you guys look like you're hungover. I just want to do this. Can everybody just smile at me? Just smile. I mean, that is amazing. My wife, you know what? She's told on you guys since we've been talking together. She's like, how do you do it sometimes? I mean, these people look at you like you're dumb sometimes, you know? And so she needs the smiles. I'm used to you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But we do appreciate the smiles. We do appreciate the amens and all that stuff because it just keeps us going. But here's the thing. It's vital that we work to protect our marriage. I want to read you a verse in 1 Corinthians 13. It says this, and it'll be on the screen, verses 4 through 7. It says this, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." You know what love does? If you truly love your spouse, if you truly love your husband or your wife, you're going to protect your marriage. And you say, what are you going to protect it from? You're going to protect it from the sin that can so easily get in our marriages. And you say, well, what's that? Pornography? I mean, that's a big deal today. I mean, I can get it any day. I can get on my phone. I can get on my computer. I can get it anywhere. It's not your father's pornography anymore. It's today's pornography. And I can get it anytime I want. That is a sin. That is a thing that we need to protect our marriages from. I shared with you a couple weeks ago how you can do that. XXXchurch.com. You can go there and you can sign up. And if you sign up for accountability with that, you know, that program that they have at XXXchurch.com, if you ever accidentally get on a website that's a pornography website, if you ever, you know, get on there on purpose because you fell into that temptation, if you will sign up for this, it will email at least three of your friends and let them know that you got on that site. Now, you say, well, that's dumb. I mean, if I'm going to sin, I don't want anybody to know about it. Well, here's the thing. You have to protect yourself. And I'll just be honest with you. I told you guys this, that, you know, a couple weeks ago. I signed up for it. I put my wife, she's going to get an email. I put Cody, he's one of our elders, and then I put Blake, he's one of our other elders. You know why? Because I desire to protect my marriage. Amen? And you guys, again, it's you get on there at XXXchurch.com, they'll try to sell it to you, but there's actually a free accountability program there as well. So you don't have to buy it, you just go to the free one and you can get it right there. But pornography is a thing that we ought to protect ourselves from, right? Lust, I mean, that goes along with pornography or just, you know, just dealing with that sexual sin. And then here's the big one. If you're married, here's the big one that we need to protect ourselves from. We need to protect ourselves from adultery, right? Some of you guys have committed adultery. Some of you guys have been tempted to commit adultery. And here's the thing. If you are guilty of committing adultery and you're here today, listen, this church is for you. You say, well, I've got the scarlet A on me. I mean, I'm an adulteress. Listen, God can forgive you just like he forgives me. And so you walk in here today and you're thinking, I'm as guilty as I can be. And I've done that. Listen, we as Christians are not to kick our own when they're down. We're to help them get back up. You know why? Because that's what Jesus Christ does for us. So if you don't like that, you want all the adulterers and all the swindlers and all the idolaters to be out of the church, you're in the wrong church. This church is for sinners. This church is for those that don't have it all together, because none of us do. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of that glory of God. And so if you're an adulteress or if you're in an affair right now, maybe you're hiding it. Listen, you're here for a reason. God's got something to say to you. And I'll tell you this, it's a love thing. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you, and he wants the best for you. And so I need you to hear that today. Well, you say, well, what are we to protect? We're to protect our minds. We're to protect our hearts. We're to protect our emotions, and we're to protect our body. Johnny Cash understood that. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever listened to that song and actually listened to the words that we just sang on Walk the Line, but it says this. It says, I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line. That's a beautiful thing. If you've ever known anything about Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, they had a legendary love relationship, a legendary marriage, because they loved each other so much. And Johnny understood it. Johnny knew that it meant if he was to be committed to his wife, that he had to protect his heart. He had to keep his eyes open and not be blind to temptation. He didn't leave any doors open for the devil to get in. You know why? Because he loved his wife, he walked the line. And he protected his marriage. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now here's the thing. We're going to give you quickly, and I know you're going to think this is going to take a little long, but we're going to quickly give you 10 commandments to purity. Okay? 10 commandments of purity. If you're taking notes, write these down. We'll actually have them on the screen for you today to read from. So if you don't get it, it'll be on the screen. But let me ask you this. How many of you guys are afraid of heights? A lot of you guys are afraid of heights. Yeah, and it's kind of tough for us men to admit that. But here's the thing, and I'll share my little fear. As long as I'm tied on to something, I'll jump off of anything, right? I mean, I can do that. I'll do the, you know, rappelling, all that stuff. But here's the thing, if I'm not tied off onto something and I get close to an edge of anything, I get a little queasy. Does anybody get that? I mean, and I'll just tell you, this is something that I do, and it's a secret, but I'm going to let you in on it. When I'm at a hotel and I'm on the 17th floor and I look out the window and I look down, I get a little queasy. I'm like, whoa, where's the wall? You know? Or when you're in the embassy suites, you know, and you're on the 17th floor and you walk out your door and you look down and you see all the people eating breakfast, you know, down like 17 stories, I get a little queasy. And that's when you don't jerk around with me and try to push me and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because then I wet my pants. Right? So, again, stay in. And here's another thing that I get scared about. If I'm ever, like, by a cliff and the wind's blowing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody with me? I mean, the wind's blowing. You're thinking, holy crap, I can't get too close to that ledge because I'm going to fall off because I'm a sissy. Right? Well, here's the thing. Here's the point. In your marriage, the further you can stay away from the ledge of adultery, the better you're going to be at not committing adultery. Think about it. I mean, let's say this is a ledge right here, and I'm as close as I can get to adultery as I want. I'm walking that fine line. I am more than likely going to fall because I'm as close as I can. Today, we're going to give you 10 commandments, and each of them is a step back from the ledge. Because here's the truth. The further I get from the ledge, the less likely I'm going to fall. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Commandment number one, if you want to write this down, it'll be on the screen. I shall have no other human relationship above my spouse. I shall have no other human relationship above my spouse. My parents will not be more important than my spouse.
Amen.
Genesis 2:24. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And I value my parents' opinion, and I respect them, but I value Bo's opinion more. Your spouse should always get the first call, whether it's, you know, something that you're excited about, something that you're struggling with, or something that's gone wrong, or if you need advice. Your spouse should get the first call, not your mom or dad. And I think that's hard to remember, and we're not saying don't include your parents. I mean, because our parents have a lot of great wisdom, and we do call on them and ask for advice, but it's secondary to us asking each other. And this is, I know, something that I personally struggled with at the beginning of our marriage was, you know, to not pick up the phone and call my mom or call my dad if I had a question. I had to shift that mentality. Second, I shall not put our kids ahead of my spouse. And I think this is huge, especially for moms. We struggle with, you know, making our kids more important than our spouse. And I think that this applies, and it's important to remember that this applies no matter how old your kids are. They shouldn't become more important than your spouse. And we love our kids. We would die for our kids. But they're not going to be number one in our home, our marriages. My friends aren't going to be more important than my spouse, especially a friend of the opposite sex. And I think we need to, you know, keep that in mind and keep that at the forefront of our minds. Is it a friend that you have? I know a lot of the times, especially like teenagers, you know, there's the girl that has, she's just friends with all the guys, or there's the guy that's friends with all the girls, and that's fine. But when you are married, you don't want to have those close friends of the opposite sex, because it can just get you closer to that ledge. So remember to put your spouse first.
So number one, that's number one. Number two is this. This is the second command. I shall remember that my time alone with my spouse is second only to my time alone with God. Let me say it again. I shall remember that my time alone with my spouse is second only to my time alone with God. Here's the thing. As a Christian, you should be making time to spend with God. We call it a quiet time. We call it a time where we get quiet before God and we just maybe go to our room. We make the kids go in their room. We go to our room and we read the Word of God and we pray. We get in that quiet place so that we can experience God, so that we can pray to God. And so, again, that should be first and foremost. And you say, why? Well, here's the truth. Jesus did it. Right? I mean, you think about it. Every time he got not in trouble, like, because he did something wrong, but every time somebody faced him, every time he was faced with temptation, every time that he was, you know, faced with an enemy, listen to what he did. He went to God. He spent time alone with God. I mean, when the crowds pushed in, the crowds wanted a part of him. I mean, they wanted a piece of him all the time. Guess what he would do? He would retreat, and he would go, and he would spend time with God. And you say, well, why do I need to do that? Listen, if Jesus needs to do that, how much more do we need to do that? And some of you guys, again, you try to rely on maybe a prayer, you know, at dinner, and that's all you do. Listen, if you're going to walk with God, you need to spend time with him. You need to give him all you got. Luke 15 or 5:16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Listen, if he needed to do it, we need to do it. And so again, spending time with God must be the priority of your life. Because here's the thing, if I spend time with God, my personal life will be smoother. My life in general will be smoother. My day will be smoother a lot of times. Again, there's always those cruddy days. My marriage will be smoother for the most part because I've spent time with God. But here's the second part of that. Our time with God ought to be first, but our second priority and our second time alone or our time alone should be with our spouse. Some of you guys work in the oil field. Some of you guys are gone for weeks at a time. Here's the thing. I'll just say this. If you are gone a lot, you need to still interact with your wife. You know what I'm saying? If you are gone for a week at a time, I would encourage you to call your wife every day. Call her every day. And you say, well, why? Because here's the truth. The devil loves to build distance between us that are married. He loves to do it. I mean, he loves to build that distance between us, and we go, man, I wish I could see her, but I'm not going to call her. And we get this bad attitude of I'm not going to, you know, give her any time. I mean, it just makes it worse. No, listen, you need to be interacting with your spouse every day. Because here's the thing, when you get all desperate and you get all alone and you're sitting in that hotel room and, you know, or you're going to that place to eat and you see that good-looking waitress and you haven't spent time with your wife and maybe you're lonely and all that, listen, the devil wants to bring that person into your life that appears to be able to fulfill you in your loneliness. And if you haven't interacted with your wife, if you don't know what's going on in your life or in your husband's life, I mean, it can go either way. Listen, you are going to be tempted to take that person up on their offer. And so you got to spend time interacting with your spouse. And I'll just let you in on what I do. Here's what I do. Again, I get to have an office at my house. But in most cases, most other churches I've been in, I always had an office at the church, right? But here's the thing. Here's what I always have on my desk at my office. I always have, and you can come to my office at the house, and it's even there. I have a picture of my wedding day. I have a picture of my wife and I. She's got this strapless white dress on. I mean, just looking beautiful. Right? Yes. She looked beautiful. We had a wedding by the pond. I mean, we had it outside. I mean, there was beautiful white chairs. Everything was beautiful. And here's the thing. I have a picture of her and I just holding each other right in front of the pond on my desk. And you say, well, why do you do that? Well, I want to look at her during the day, right? I want to look at her. But here's the second reason why I do it. When somebody walks in to my office, you know what I want them to know? I want them to know that I'm married. You want to know why I put that picture there? I want them to know that I'm happily married. So when that desperate wife that's getting left out of her, you know, out of her marriage because her husband's a jerk walks in, she's going to see that picture of my wife right there on my desk. And you say, well, that's simple. It is simple, but it's a reminder. When someone walks in, they're going to go, man, this dude's happily married. He's got pictures of his wife and family all over the place. So that's what I do. I mean, I put that picture on my desk so that everyone can know, especially other women, that I'm happily married. Maybe you need to put the picture of your spouse in your wallet every time you pull it out. I mean, it's simple. Maybe you need to put, you know, his or her picture on the wallpaper of your phone. Maybe if you've got a Facebook, you need to put the picture of your husband and you together on the Facebook rather than yourself looking hot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't understand it. I see some people, and it looks like they're selling something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they got it unzipped, and they're like, babe, you know. And then I read their profile, married to Joe Smith. I'm like, well, Joe must not be happy because you look like you want something. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, some of you guys need to maybe put your whole family picture on your Facebook so it doesn't look like you're single and looking for something. It's called protecting your marriage. Some of you guys need to wear a wedding ring, and I know that some of you guys are like, dang it, I don't like it. I mean, it just gets on my nerves when I, wear it. Well, if you can wear it and your job doesn't cause you to rip your finger off if you, you know, get it caught in something. Wear your wedding ring. It shows honor. It shows commitment to your spouse. I'm just saying, if you can't afford one, go buy a cheap one. I mean, my ring is a $30 ring, $30, and I got it engraved at Campbell's Bits and Spurs for $20, so it's worth $50. If only her ring cost that much. But here's the thing, wear your wedding ring, talk about your spouse. When someone's, you know, you're having a conversation with someone of the opposite sex or whatever, talk about your spouse. Talk about how wonderful they are. Because if they're looking for something, they're going to be going, well, he ain't the one. Praise the Lord, right? So talk about them. Here's another thing. When you get home from being away from work all the time, don't go do something that you think is more important than reconnecting to your spouse. I do it. I'm guilty. I've been gone for a while. What do I want to do? I want to go to my room, shut the door, and watch TV or go to sleep. But what do I need to do? I need to communicate with my wife. I need to say, babe, hey, I'm tired right now. Give me an hour. Let me sleep, and then we will reconnect in more ways than one. You know what I'm saying? So you got to reconnect. Spend time reconnecting, because time alone with your spouse is vital in keeping your marriage protected. So don't let the distance of the devil get in between you and cause you to be tempted. Okay? That's what's vital. Now, number three goes along with this. Number three is this. I will honor, no, it doesn't go along with this. It goes along with something else. But this is a great one. I will honor my spouse on all anniversaries or special days so that I may live long in the land that the Lord has given me. Amen? Some of you guys have forgotten your spouse's birthday or an anniversary, and you paid big time. I mean, this is just good advice for a happy marriage, right? Don't forget those anniversaries. Make a big deal about them. Be impractical. I heard a story just this week or just this morning. I read an email from a couple that comes to our church, and they had their anniversary this last weekend. And this man took my advice, and when they had their anniversary, he had the sparkling grape juice, the flowers, I mean, a meal. He had it all prepared because you know why? He loved his wife. Listen. You need to realize that anniversaries are special, and you don't have a whole lot of them. Some of you guys that have lost your spouse to death, I mean, you know how special they are, right? And so listen, remember that. Philippians 2:4, each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. If it's important to her, it needs to be important to you. If it's important to him, it needs to be important to you. And it takes work. It takes work. Because here's the thing. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right?
Okay, number four. I shall not take the covenant of marriage in vain. I shall keep the covenant I made with God and my spouse all the days of my life. And marriage is not something to be taken lightly. I think that, you know, sometimes we say, well, we're just going to try this out, and if it doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. Or we can always just, you know, call it quits if things go south. And divorce should not even be in your vocabulary. This is a commitment that Bo and I had from day one, that divorce was never an option. We don't ever even use that word in our home.
Yeah, and can I just tell you this? Fathers, listen, I had this conversation with my father-in-law before we ever got married. He goes, Bo, in our family, there is no option for divorce. And if you're going to marry my daughter, then that needs to be your commitment to us as well. It was a great thing. He held me accountable. Told me that I couldn't divorce his daughter.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, your dad's an awesome guy.
Yes, he
is. I hope he listens to this message. I love you, Lonnie. I love you. You're the best father-in-law ever.
And I think an important word in this is commitment. I think a lot of times couples say, well, we're just not in love anymore. And I think it's important to remember that commitment trumps love. Like, I would take commitment from Bo over love any day, because I know that he's committed for life. So it should be till death do you part.
Right. Number five is this, and we're moving along. Number five is, it says, I shall not spend time alone or travel alone with a person from the opposite sex or of the opposite sex. You say, well, okay, Bo, what's the big deal about that? Listen, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. One of the ways that the devil looks for someone to devour is he disguises the innocent lunch that you have with a coworker as innocent. And it may be innocent the first time. But after a while, when, again, that person starts saying, hey, you know, your wife shouldn't treat you that way. Or, you know, that I mean, I understand you. And starts, you know, hey, that's okay. Listen, the devil loves to disguise it. You spend time alone with a person from the opposite sex. And I'm not saying everybody. I mean, I had a granny and I would take her to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of you guys are like, oh, that's extreme. I mean, that means I can't take my grandma to the doctor. What? You know what I'm saying. I mean, spending time alone with or traveling alone with is something to be aware of and to not do. And again, you say, well, they're just a coworker. It's nothing. You know how many affairs happen between coworkers? A lot. And so don't buy into that lie. One of the things that I do, and again, this is just for me. I always try to convey to whoever I'm ministering with, let's say another staff member like Colleen or Olivia or, you know, just someone that's a person of the opposite sex. I try to convey to them that, hey, listen, we don't need to be alone. Here's the thing, and I'm going to talk about Olivia for a second. And here's the thing. We have the opportunity to be alone some. But my desire, and here's how I combat even being accused of being alone with her. If she gets to, let's say we meet for practice on what, Tuesday nights or Thursday nights. If she gets there early, guess what I do? I open the door and I leave the door open to the public. If we're having to be, practice together for some reason, I sit on the other side of the bar or the other side of the table so that when someone walks in, I'm not right here like, hey, Olivia, this is a beautiful song. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, you think that's stupid. I mean, I ought to be able to, you know, be mature enough to not say no to temptation. You're not mature enough. The devil's real, and he will tempt you. And here's the truth. The assumption that you've done anything is just as worse and just as bad as doing it. So think about it. Here's number six, and it goes along with this one. Number six, I shall not counsel or give too much emotionally to a person of the opposite sex behind closed doors. And you say, well, what do you mean? I mean, I'm not a counselor. I don't meet with people like that. Do you get on Facebook? Because that's behind closed doors. Some of you guys and gals, you have friends that they want to turn to you when their husband's being mean. Or they want to turn to you when their wife's being mean or doing something. And you get on Facebook and you begin to console them on Facebook. That, again, you say, well, why is that so wrong? Listen, all it has to do is get out just like that. And a message can be taken so wrong, and then you're guilty by association. So, again, that, you know, and you say, well, Bo, is it wrong for me to empathize and to show compassion for someone of the opposite sex? It's not wrong. Just don't do it alone. I mean, here's what I do. I'm obviously a pastor, and sometimes I have to be around, you know, or with people of the opposite sex to counsel them. Here's what I always try to do. At every cost that I can, I always have somebody around. I have a parent around if I'm talking to a teenage girl. I have, you know, maybe another sister. A lot of times Olivia, again, she'll bring her sisters to practice so that there's at least somebody around, right? Or, you know, I'll have Heather stay around. Here's the thing. I always tell my elders, I tell the elders this. I say, if I have a woman and she's bawling and crying and all that, and she's emotional and she wants to talk to me, do not leave me. I mean, this girl wants to talk to you. That's fine, but I want to know that my elder's standing right around the corner, right? I want to know that someone is still there. And you say, well, Bo, why don't you just meet in a public place? I mean, if someone wants to go and they're the opposite sex, why don't you just go to lunch with them? That's stupid, too. You know why? Because somebody will see us and they'll think, well, they're having lunch together. I wonder what's going on there. So, again, you've got to protect yourself, not give too much of yourself, you know, to a person of the opposite sex. Here's another thing. And I see this sometimes. I don't see it very often. But a lot of times, even at church, I'll see a man talking to someone else's wife for about an hour. And I kind of look at that and I go, you know, it's probably innocent. They probably don't even think about that. But if you are sitting there and you're laughing and then you're having a great time with somebody that's married and you're just, you know, cutting up and everything's having fun and you're there for like an hour or 30 minutes or 25 minutes and you're just cutting up and you're talking, again, not good. It just doesn't look good. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel good. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, you've got to combat yourself from these things. It's okay to interrupt when those things are happening. If I see one of my friends talking way too long, I'll probably go up to him and say, hey, dude, let's go. Let's go get a Coke. Let's get out of here. You know why? Because I want to protect them. Okay? So don't give too much emotional empathy to someone of the opposite sex.
Number 7, I shall not think that I'm above temptation because it's only by the grace of God that I don't fall. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I think a lot of times our pride, we think, I would never do that, or, you know, that'll never happen to us, and we say things like that, and that just sets us up for failure. The devil loves to hear those bold and prideful statements so that he can take us down. And Bo and I, we try to never use the word never ever. Yeah. I'd never do this or whatever, because we know that Satan hears those words and he loves to prey on that and try to bring us down. You have to constantly pray for the Lord's strength and his grace to give to help you not to give in to temptation. And I think it's important not to be naive. No one just intentionally lets their marriage fall apart. You know, Satan creeps in and it takes a lot of work to protect it. Again, these are statements that we hope are true. We hope that, you know, we can say that this would never happen to us. We would never fall into that temptation. But again, it's only by the grace of God that we don't. So number 7, I shall not think that I'm above temptation because it's only by the grace of God that I don't fall. Number 8, I shall not share the negative details of my marriage with others. And especially, again, someone of the opposite sex. Ephesians 4:29, and I know we've looked at this verse before, but it applies here as well. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Make sure, again, that the words that you say about your spouse are edifying and encouraging to those who are listening. And you can ask yourself questions like, does what I'm telling this person honor my spouse? How would I feel if my husband was telling all his buddies about our latest argument? Again, it's okay, and you need a godly accountability partners and people that you can, you know, vent to, but make sure that those people are going to give you godly counsel, and they're going to tell you, well, Heather, yeah, he probably shouldn't have said that, but you were wrong when you said this. And so you need someone who is going to give you, again, that godly wisdom. And I think that this is huge, too. Don't gripe about your spouse to your mama. Has anyone ever, you know, not done that, I guess, but here's the thing.
Some people have. Jandy, raise your hand. Anybody?
I mean, here's the
thing. She raised her hand. I didn't point her out.
Your husband and you're going to work that out, and you're going to move on. You're going to forget about that, but your mom is going to remember what he did to his baby girl or her baby girl. So you need to remember, to again, choose someone outside of your family, a godly accountability partner. I have one that lives in Texas that I can, you know, send her a text and say, we just had this horrible argument, and this is what happened, this is what he did, and she'll say, well, Heather, this doesn't always, you know, the house doesn't always have to be clean, so don't be mad at him for not letting you stay home and clean it. I mean, she gives me that godly counsel and that godly wisdom that I need. She doesn't just say, yeah, he's a jerk, you need to, you know, move out and whatever. I mean, she gives me that godly counsel, so it's important to have those people, but don't make it a gripe fest with your friends and have that bash session of your husband. Or wife.
That's right. Number 9 is this, and this is, again, to protect our marriages. I shall not watch, read, or expose myself to sexually explicit shows, books, websites, etc. And again, some of this we try to justify. Well, we're married, so we can watch that movie that has 6 sex scenes in it, and they just, you know, are naked throughout half of it. Okay, well, I don't think we can justify that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think we sometimes do. I think, you know, we think, well, we're adults, we can watch this, and it's not going to really affect us. No, listen, when I'm looking at a naked woman on a TV screen or on a movie screen, I'm not thinking about my wife. And you say, well, it's no big deal. I mean, whatever. Okay, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't lust. like I do. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you don't have that image in your mind for the rest of your life. Maybe I'm the only one. But listen, if we're going to protect our marriages, we've got to keep our minds clear of things that are sexually immoral, right? From the computer to the TV screen, whatever it is, Ephesians 5:3 says this. It's on the screen. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You know what I do? And again, this is just me. But here's what I do to try to protect my mind. I go to a website called PluggedIn.com. Anybody ever heard of it? PluggedIn.com. You can go to PluggedIn.com and you can review, they review every movie, every DVD, every song, lyric. They review every one of them. So when you go to that website, PluggedIn.com, it'll tell you how many F words are in the movie. It'll tell you how many, you know, cuss words. I mean, it'll tell you everything. It'll tell you all the sex scenes that are in it. It'll tell you all that you need to know before you ever watch a movie. You say, well, I mean, I'm not going to take time to go do that. Well, then you're going to look at naked women and not think about your wife. I mean, I don't know. And you say, well, Depo, have you ever watched a movie and it had a sex scene in it? Yes, I have. But it's been a while because I go to that website and I try not to watch those things. Again, just something to protect your marriage. And then here's the last one. I shall remember the consequences of committing adultery. I shall remember the consequences of committing adultery. That's the 10th commandment. And Hebrews 13:4 says this, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. Here's why. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You know what the truth is about adultery? It affects everybody. Everybody. Everybody in your family, everybody in your extended family, even people at work, it affects everybody. Let me give you some examples of some consequences that I feel like I would face if I was to have an affair. Here's number one. My fellowship with God would suffer. Would he still love me? Absolutely. Would he forgive me? Absolutely. But my fellowship, because of the sin in my life, would keep me from being close to him because I've got that sin in my life. Here's another one. I would suffer from the emotional consequences of guilt. Here's number three. My wife would suffer the scars of this sin more deeply than I could begin to describe. Our marriage would suffer a break in trust, fellowship, and intimacy, and possibly even end in divorce. The reputation of my family would suffer loss. My kids would be deeply disappointed and affected by this event for the rest of their life. My witness would be hurt. My witness for Christ, my testimony among my wife's family would be damaged. I would suffer God's discipline. Satan would be thrilled at my failure. I would bring emotional pain to the woman that I had an affair with. And if that woman was married, her husband might divorce her because of my consequence or my sin. An unwanted child might be produced. Some might conclude that all Christians are hypocrites because I committed adultery. And the last one, I might have to start my life all over again. Those are just a few consequences of committing adultery. I mean, I could go over probably 100 more reasons why not to commit adultery and the consequences of that. And again, it's heavy stuff. And I'll just say this. I want to say this to close, and we're done. If you have committed adultery and you are here today and you're still experiencing maybe some guilt, maybe you're experiencing the consequences, and you know how it feels to have these consequences in your life, listen, God can forgive you. God can heal that pain. He can be the man in your life that can show you what true love is. And he can heal your life and you can start over in him. And so maybe you're here today and you're in an affair or you're struggling with a past. Listen, God can forgive you. You have to forgive yourself And he wants and desires to do that. There's a character in the Bible, David. Remember David and Bathsheba, the story? David commits adultery with Bathsheba, looks at her, lusts after her, says, I want her, brings her into his castle and has sex with her. She has a son outside of wedlock. He kills her husband by putting him on the front lines of the war, and he dies so that David could have this affair with Bathsheba. Now, here's the thing. And you say, okay, so David must have been a jerk, and God must have been really upset with him. No, you know what God and how God describes David? A man after his own heart. You say, how can a man that has committed adultery and done all that stuff be a man after God's own heart? Here's the truth. It's not because David was perfect. It was because David knew how to repent, turn from his sin, and turn toward God and accept the forgiveness that God offered him. And so maybe you're here today and you've committed adultery. You've done something that you know you shouldn't do. Listen, learn from David. You never hear about David committing adultery again. It was just that one time. And so again, maybe you're here today and you just need to confess that. You need to say, okay, God, I need you to forgive me of my sin. I encourage you to do that. Allow God to release you in that. One of the things that we're going to challenge you, and again, I kind of said this at the beginning, we've been talking about the covenant marriage for the last 3 weeks. We've been talking about, you know, this till death do us part for the last 6 weeks. And maybe you're married and you're here today and you're saying, Bo, I want to have a covenant marriage. I don't want to have a contract marriage. I want to have a covenant marriage. Well, we have a certificate that we're going to challenge you today. If you're married and you want to have a covenant marriage, we want you to sign this, and you can give it back to us, and then we will give it back to you as well. We want to have some sort of record and know who all did it, and then we will give this certificate back to you. The couples that renewed their vows the other day, they signed one of these. Hope they put it in a frame, and they're hanging it on the hallway or in their room so that, again, when people walk in, they know that this is part of their marriage. I want to read it to you so you know what you're going to be signing if you desire to do this. It says this: believing that marriage is a covenant intended by God to be a lifelong fruitful relationship between a man and a woman, we vow to God, to each other, our families, and our community to remain steadfast in unconditional love, reconciliation, and sexual purity while intentionally growing in our covenant marriage relationship. That's the covenant. And if you're married today, or if you're single and you want to, you know, take one of these and sign it on your wedding day, take one. Maybe you're getting married in a few weeks and you want to take one and sign it then. That is great. I mean, this is an awesome commitment that I hope that will remind you of what God desires for your marriage. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're single and you're saying, what does this have to do with me? I mean, here we are talking about marriage. I'm single. Listen, can I just encourage you as a single adult? You need to be preparing for your marriage. You need to be, you know, serving the Lord in your single life. Listen, you have time as a single person to give all, not all your time, but a lot of your time to serving the Lord, to serving others, to serving in this church. And I challenge you, you run toward God, you give God all you've got, and God will bring about a relationship that honors him and that brings you pleasure. He will do that. If it's his will for you to be married, if it's his will for you to be in a relationship, you pursue after him, and then he will bless you in his timing and in his way. And so I challenge you as singles. If you're married today, I want to ask you, do you have a covenant marriage? Do you have a marriage that is passionate? Do you have a marriage that's prepared? And do you have a marriage that is protected? I hope that you do. And I hope that you won't be flippant about this, that you won't think, well, that was a good series. I'm just not going to do anything about it. Great stuff, Bo. Appreciate it. No, I hope that you'll make a commitment in your marriage to work at being prepared, to work at being passionate, to work at being protected. Because if you don't, you're setting yourself up to fall off the ledge. And so here's what we're going to do. At the end of the service today, if you're married or you want to grab one of these covenants and you want to sign it before you leave, please do that. Maybe you need to take it home and you need to ask your spouse, man, I want to have this covenant marriage. Then you guys sign it together and bring it back. Listen, we want you to be, you know, prepared to do what God has asked you to do. And so if you want to do that, please come grab one of these. Maybe you want to take it with you, pray over it, and decide together. Make that commitment and that covenant together. Do that. Bring it back. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. We thank you for being here. Lord, we just come to you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the series that you've allowed us to be in. And Lord, I just pray that the words that we've spoken have been pleasing to you, and that the words that you've given us have changed lives, not only in this place, but across our world. As people listen to us online and as they go to our website and listen to these messages, I pray that you would change lives, that you would change hundreds of lives, thousands of lives through the message that you've given us through your word. And so, Lord, today, please continue to work in our marriages. May our marriages be passionate. May we set the example for our kids and for all of those maybe that are unchurched or don't believe in Christ. May we show them what it looks like to have a great marriage. Lord, we glorify you. We thank you for the gifts and the tools that you've given us to be able to accomplish this. And we praise you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today.